quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking peoples and the Squamish-speaking peoples, and this episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking peoples and the Halkomelem-speaking peoples. At Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original knowledge keepers and storytellers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie. It's been a hot minute since a new episode of Typically Tuesdays. You'll have to forgive me there. You know, a lot was happening in my life, and as per usual, mental illness. Ha ha. Highly do not recommend anybody ever develop mental illness. It is painful, horrible, and legitimately disabling. But the show must go on. I am going to talk about a small topic and then a larger topic today. First, I'll be doing a little bit of a follow-up episode of my last show, which was about ChatGPT, or I think it's OpenAI's usage of Studio Ghibli copyright intellectual property, and the response kind of that has stoked in a lot of people, including a really cool viral art trend that has come out of it. And in the second part of the show, I'm actually going to do a show review. It's going to be the first one that I've ever done, but I really wanted to talk about Parallel Reflection, which was Emily and Miu's final concert, Emily and Miu from Non Sweet. If you want to know more about that, you're going to have to tune into the archived episodes on Typically Tuesdays from a few weeks ago, where Sam and I talked to Emily and Miu and the other members of Non Sweet about Parallel Reflection. But I'm looking forward to share my thoughts, because I can't help but to feel like it was a pretty unique experience. So you're going to be hearing all about that later on. For now, we're going to listen to some music on the playlist. I was trying to maybe go for like, music about technology and love? In the end, I don't think that really tracked. But we got a lot of new tracks coming up on this hour. Actually, most of it is new CanCon. We've got some Webpage 505. We have Ribbon Skirt coming up later. We've also we've got some older stuff as well with Tallies off of their very first full-length album, Tallies. But for now, this one's exciting. This one is by Backwash, and if you know me, I've been itching to play Backwash on the show for years and years and months and months, because a lot of it cannot be played on daytime radio. But I'll take anything that I can get. Here's Backwash off of her latest album, Only Dust Remains, Ninth Gate.
is Bird Note. Weather in the Arctic is still wintry when male snow buntings return to nesting areas in April. They've spent the winter roaming shorelines and fields of grain stubble, cold, windswept places in the northern United States and Canada. Males reach their breeding territories on the tundra a month ahead of females and defend them relentlessly. This means male snow buntings may face freezing conditions and snow blanketing the ground. But there's a big benefit to arriving early enough to claim a prime nest cavity in a rock face or under boulders, where it will be safer from foxes and snowy owls. Nesting in chilly rock cavities means extra care must be taken to keep eggs and nestlings warm. That's why, unlike many other bird species, female snow buntings never come off the nest. The males bring them food, giving them more continuous time on the eggs. This shortens the incubation time, improving the odds of hatching a healthy brood. And it all begins with an early, if somewhat cold, start to the season. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
We're back here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie, and a few weeks ago you might have heard me talk on and on about the detriments of OpenAI and ChatGPT and the outrage that came out from the fact that OpenAI had new updates to allow for people to create images that looked like they came right out of a Hayao Miyazaki film. Now, the response to this upgrade of OpenAI, as you know, has been intense, to say the least. A lot of people are talking to their friends and family about the detriments of using OpenAI and AI generative tools. Are they tools? I guess I can call them tools. In response, even mainstream media has started to report a little bit about it, talking about all the ways that perhaps Studio Ghibli would be able to stake a copyright infringement lawsuit on OpenAI. Now, I think that conversation is it's interesting because while I think a lot of people who maybe have good intentions, but who maybe themselves aren't artists or aren't people who are very close with artists, something that they might fail to grasp is the fact that, you know, with the resources that Studio Ghibli has and the resources that Hayao Miyazaki has, yes, they can potentially move forward with a copyright infringement claim on OpenAI. The issue, of course, being what about all the other independent artists out there whose work are constantly being stolen, even without a new upgrade on OpenAI. There are a lot of social media platforms right now that are without our consent, without our explicit consent anyways, are taking our likeliness, the drawings that we post online, and using them to generate AI, using that as data to create, to allow for people to create images that look a particular way or have a particular feel to it. And that can be incredibly disheartening for people who are, you know, not regularly contracted, who are not permanently hired to like a film studio such as Ghibli or even like an animation studio. As you may or may not know, the world of animation being a creative industry, it is not always one that is like financially very secure in a lot of ways. And so for people who are actually in that industry, many folks are, they are contractors, they are independents, and they don't necessarily have the resources or the means to go after a legal case in the way that mainstream media might be projecting that Studio Ghibli will go after OpenAI. And it's a bit of a shame, you know. It is really difficult when I see my artist friends, people who are full-time or part-time artists who are making art for their livelihood, they really already struggle against the algorithm on social media, and they already have quite a bit of trouble when they aren't getting enough views, meaning that they might not be getting as much exposure, not enough attention on their work that people can purchase. But the probability of having the work stolen as well by these powerful billionaires is heart-wrenching. You know, you put in all this work to hone your craft and to hone your skills, and not only do people not acknowledge that, but they blatantly take it from you. Sometimes not even with that intention in mind, they just do it. A very interesting trend has come out of this instead, though, in which artists are creating illustrations of them as though they were like a little action figure in like a plastic casing and everything. They've got accessories with it. It says, and on the packaging it will say, no AI included in the creation of this product, or something like that. It's a fun little trend that has been picking up steam. I've been seeing my artists' friends get involved in it, but even illustrators from actual, like, pretty successful companies, such as Trixie Cosmetics, are participating in it, and it's kind of exciting to see that. I remember, you know, when I was younger, looking at digital artwork on social media, and that was these kinds of like trends, these sort of what they used to call like tag memes and stuff, they were very, very popular. And I think for quite a while, maybe they weren't as, I didn't see them as commonly as before, because maybe trends were just shifting and changing so quickly that there wasn't a chance for a lot of people to keep up with making these illustrations. And also maybe people were too busy kind of you know, marketing themselves, putting their work out there so that it can catch attention, so that they could, you know, get hired, or you know, people can buy the artwork that they make. But to see this kind of trend come up is very exciting. If you've seen any of those before, you know, you'll understand what I'm saying when you just notice how clever it is, how people are using this idea to describe themselves as a person, but to also make the statement that they are not an artist that stands for this kind of blatant data mining and these kind of disturbances to their creative freedoms, which is really, really quite cool. Again, shout out to the independent artists out there that are doing the good work, resisting every day, honing their crafts, getting better ever more, even when there's an art block that they experience. I salute you in what you do. And if you are not an artist, or if you are a hobbyist, you're looking to purchase some nice gifts for your friends, or put up some nice decorations where you live, consider purchasing artwork from a local artist at like an artist alley or at a convention, and support your local artists in that way. That is one of the best ways that we can continue to encourage people to keep up their craft. That said, I am interested to see where possibly this whole thing with OpenAI and Studio Ghibli could go. If there will potentially be a lawsuit, there's nothing out there that says that there will or will not be one yet. People are just kind of speculating, but I do know that there has already been quite a bit of work being done in other sectors of the creative industries, such as in journalism and in film, where more of that stuff is being discussed. There are more avenues around creator ownership that are they're trying to be carved out, and you know, if there are realms that allow for creatives to maintain ownership in their work, that's potentially something to look forward to, I guess, to see just how that goes, because you know, it's been a few hundred years, right, since the Industrial Revolution, where, you know, it's just a lot harder for creatives to maintain ownership of their own work, and also to continue to sustain themselves in their daily lives through being an actual working artist or craftsman, gender-neutral craftsman. Alright, anyways, we're gonna listen to some more music right now, and after that, I'll be talking about Parallel Reflection. Here's a Ribbon Skirt with Wrong Planet.